Topic 80, Illumination. 1. By illumination I do not mean the light in the head. That is incidental and phenomenal, and many truly intuitive people are entirely unaware of the light. The light to which I refer is that which irradiates the way. It is the light of the intellect, which really means that which illumines the mind, and which can reflect itself in that mental apparatus which is held steady in the light. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 3. 2. Illumination reveals, first of all, the existence of glamour. It provides the distressing contrasts with which all true aspirants wrestle, and then gradually it floods the life to such an extent that eventually glamour completely vanishes. Men see things, then, as they are, a facade hiding the good, the beautiful, and the true. The opposites are then resolved, and consciousness is superseded by a condition of realization of being, for which we have no adequate term. The technique of light becomes a permanent condition. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 241. 3. With most of the advanced students at present, all that is felt is occasional flashes of illumination, but later will be felt a steady irradiation. From Letters on Occult Meditation, page 111. 4. Through diligence, application, high endeavor, and the long and patient following of the rules laid down, there comes a time when the student is suddenly conscious, right within the physical brain, of certain unexpected events, an illumination or a seeing that has before been unknown. It is something that is so real, yet so momentarily surprising, that no amount of subsequent apparent disproving can take away from him the knowledge that he saw, he contacted, he felt. From Letters on Occult Meditation, page 288. 5. The world of meaning and of causes becomes gradually the world in which he finds happiness, and his selection of his major interests, and the use to which he decides to put his time and powers are finally conditioned by the truer spiritual values. He then is on the path of illumination. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, page 340. 6. The man's efforts in meditation have opened a door through which he can pass at will, and eventually with facility, into a new world of phenomena, of directed activity, and of different ideals. He has unlatched a window through which light can pour in, revealing that which is, and always has been, existent within the consciousness of man, and throwing illumination into the dark places of his life, into other lives, and into the environment in which he moves. He has released within himself a world of sound and of impressions, which are at first so new and so different that he does not know what to make of them. His situation becomes one requiring much care and balanced adjustment. It will be obvious to you that if there is a good mental equipment and a sound educational training, that there will be a balancing sense of proportion, an interpretive capacity, patience to wait until right understanding can be developed, and a happy sense of humor. Where, however, these are not present, there will be, according to the type and the sense of vision, bewilderment, a failure to comprehend what is happening, undue emphasis upon personality reactions and phenomena, pride in achievement, a tremendous sense of inferiority, too much speech, a running hither and thither for explanation, comfort, assurance, and a sense of comradeship, or perhaps a complete breakdown of the mental forces, or the disruption of the brain cells through the strain to which they have been subjective. Exhilaration is also sometimes found as a result of the contact with a new world and strong mental stimulation. Depression is as frequently a result, based upon a sensed incapacity to measure up to the realized opportunity. The man sees and knows too much. he can no longer be satisfied with the old measure of living, with the old satisfactions, and with the old idealisms. He has touched and now longs for the larger measures, for the new and vibrant ideas, and for the broader vision. The way of the life of the soul has gripped and attracts him, but his nature, his environment, his equipment, and his opportunities appear somehow to frustrate him consistently, and he feels he cannot march forward into this new and wonderful world. He feels the need to temporize and to live in the same state of mind as heretofore, and so he thinks, and so he decides. These expansions, which he has undergone as the result of successful meditation, need not be along the line of recognized religious effort, or produced by so-called occult revelation. They may come to him along the line of a man's chosen life activity, for there is no life activity, no vocational calling, no mental occupation, and no condition which cannot provide the key to the unlocking of the door into the desired wider world, or serve to lead a man to the mountaintop from which the wider horizon can be seen and the larger vision grasped. A man must learn to recognize that his chosen school of thought, his special vocation, his particular calling in life, and his personal trend are only part of a greater whole, and his problem is to integrate consciously his small life activity into the world activity. It is this we call illumination, for lack of a better word. All knowledge is a form of light, for it throws light into areas of awareness of which we have hitherto been unconscious. All wisdom is a form of light, for it reveals to us the world of meaning which lies behind the outer form. All understanding is an evocation of light, for it causes us to become aware of or conscious of the causes which are producing the outer forms which surround us, including our own, and which condition the world of meaning, of which they are the expression. But when this fact is first seen, grasped, and when the initial revelation has come, when the place of the part in relation to the whole is sensed, and when the world, which includes our little world, is first contacted, there is always a moment of crisis and a period of danger. Then, as familiarity grows and our feet have wandered in and out of the door we have opened, we have become accustomed to the light which the unshuttered window has released into our little world of daily living, and other psychological dangers eventuate. We are in danger of thinking that what we have seen is all there is to see, and thus, on a higher turn of the spiral, and in a larger sense, we repeat the dangers earlier considered of undue emphasis, of wrong focus, of narrow-minded belief, and of fixed idea. We become obsessed with the idea of the soul. We forget its need of a vehicle of expression. We begin to live in an abstracted, detached world of being and of feeling, and we fail to keep in contact with the factual life of the physical plane expression. We thus repeat, again on the higher turn of the spiral, the condition we considered in which the soul or ego was not present, reversing the condition so that there is no form life really present in the focused consciousness of the man. There is only the world of souls, and a desire for creative activity. The handling of daily living on the physical plane drops below the threshold of consciousness, and the man becomes a vague, impractical, visionary mystic. These states of mind are dangerous if they are permitted to exist. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 465 through 468. See also the topic, Light.